Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 130B. With me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello. You're going to mention the fact that this is why you're calling this B.
I will be. Yes, it's 130B because we've already recorded this episode. Or rather, we didn't record because I forgot to hit record. So
we just had a lovely chat for an hour.
We did. We had a lovely chat where I kept calling an invisible friend listeners. Don't worry, listeners. It's my new invisible friend to go with the others that I have around the house. Yes, so we've actually already done this before yesterday evening, but now we're doing it again on Friday. So this is the most up-to-date podcast we've ever recorded because it should be live on site in about a few hours after we finish. So anyway, let's crack on because we've already done this before.
We did it so well.
And we did it brilliantly. And we haven't got any beer this time, so no. There's not going to be a moment near the end where Keith just cracks up constantly about saying a string of accidental double entendres. So, enough.
That might still happen.
That might still happen. Enough of the French, though. Let's go on to the news.
News!
Right, first up on the news this week. Angry Birds. Yes, it's quite often in the news. But it's in the news because it has reached 250 million downloads across, we presume, all mobile platforms, but it could be across all platforms. We don't know which. But anyway, it doesn't matter because 250 million is a lot.
A lot.
A lot. That's a quarter of a billion. If you want to make it
up 50
bigger.
Million since May.
Yeah, 50 million in a month, less than a month.
Yeah. Well, I got out my trusty calculator and I worked it out as 1.7 million downloads a day, which then other sites went on to use as well. So I assume it must be right.
Yeah. Is this your calculator with the Tippex with like Man City rules on it?
No, I did it by hand actually. I just scribbled it all out. I'm very good like that.
And not coincidentally, there's a new update out this week called Mine and Dine.
It's called Mine and Dine.
It is called Mine and Dine. I'm just looking at the bottom paragraph and you've written Mine and Dine. This is a surprise because I remember when we were first recording, you pointed my attention to it and it said Wine and Dine.
It did say Wine and Dine and it now says Mine and Dine. Actually, no, it never said Wine and Dine. That was all in your head. That's actually, I sabotaged the last podcast, so that would never make it to air. But, you've kind of ruined it.
Yes, so it's called Mine and Dine. It's 15 new levels. Mark Brown has finished his, because when we were recording this previously, he was in the middle of. He's finished his Golden Eggs guide. So that should be up on site.
Probably. Not slept. He stayed up all night.
Obviously didn't. The poor man's now been taken into care because of how many guys he's had to write about Angry Birds. It's weird though, because for the last few weeks, I have thought he's been starting to go a little slightly because when you asked him a question, he started just going da 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 da, and then he'd answer as if he hadn't done anything. And when questioned about what he meant with the da-da-da bits, he just went, what? What da-da bits?
It's good music.
It's not good music. It's really annoying
it's
music.
It's good music.
It's not. It's incredibly annoying.
You know what it is. You hear that, it's Angry Birds. That's actually what I went to say on about Halo last, the unrecorded podcast, isn't it? So
yeah.
Well, we'll talk about Halo music.
Oh, wait, we'll talk about that in a second.
The Angry Birds music.
Yeah. I like it when it's played on a phone like some of the Android phones, where you're not quite aware if the volume is high or not. So you'll hear the theme tune start up on the bus and some person panicking as they try and find the volume button. And everyone just sort of sitting there on the bus thinking, oh God, it's Angry Birds again.
I always have my iPod Touch always down. And then I remember sometimes that games actually have sound.
Yeah, well, I normally have mine up because I don't normally. If I go out with the iPod Touch, I have my headphones in it, so and it sets the volume differently, so it's fine for me. But there's certain phones that don't do that. Which is just stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing about Java games. Not all of them years ago used to have now they all come up with a "do you want the sound on" thing. But they didn't always used to, so you'd start them up and you'd get some awful garish theme tune blast out of your N95 speakers, which are actually surprisingly loud.
Yeah, they're the choice, you know? If I'm sitting on the back of the bus, I use my trusty and I don't know where that accent's going.
It's Cambridge, isn't it?
That's the Cambridge Massive.
When I am
sitting near the rear of the bus, I often play my hard rap music. Anyway.
I was about to say, never sit near the rear of the bus. That's dangerous.
Well, it's sometimes gives bad vibrations.
Good vibrations, yeah.
Not from a bus. Okay, so moving on from there. Ken Levine, everyone's favourite. Well, people who love Bioshock and System Shock's favourite game designer might make an iPhone game. I think the key word there is might.
Yeah, he's dreamt about it.
He's dreamt about making one. I've dreamt about a few things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
To do with Ken Levine or...?
No. But about System Shock, which is still superior to Bioshock.
Oh, here we go. Yes, it is, of course.
Yeah, it is. It's much more intelligent. It's got proper RPG.
Even though you've not played it for 50 years. But, you know.
Yes, I know, yeah, because it's still fresh. You know? Still fresh. It stays with me. It had proper RPG sections where you couldn't just... You know, on Bioshock, you basically just became a superhuman. On System Shock, you couldn't do that. You had to pick your battles.
Yeah, but I don't like RPGs. Yeah.
But it's not an RPG, though. It was a...
I don't like anything with numbers or statistics in any...
So you don't like any sequels?
Only sequels with dramatic names instead of numbers, yeah. That's Assassin's Creed's good for that.
Oh, good point. That's only a semi-sequel, Brotherhood. Anyway, and Revelations. So, yes, he hasn't actually said he's going to make one. He said he might make one. Who knows what the future holds? I'm quoting now. Some mornings I wake up and go, I'm going to make a turn-based iPhone game and do it in 3 months.
A good friend of his is doing something really cool, brackets similar.
Yeah.
You can't talk about that right now.
No. Ooh. I look at that and I think maybe I'd like to do something like that.
Do you know, there's not much meat in this story, but I bet you it did really well hits-wise.
Oh, yeah. There isn't much meat. It would be interesting if he did make an iPhone game. As you said when we weren't recording,
yeah,
he's a very story-driven designer.
Yeah, how would that translate on iPhone?
Probably as a top-down shooter.
I was hoping a match 3, to be honest.
Match 3 would be good.
A huge plot twist in it halfway through.
Yeah,
it turns out...
You have to match more than 3.
You haven't been matching 3 at all.
Yeah. It's been a trick. You've been matching 3 just purely because the game mechanics have told you to match 3 and you're doing it blindly.
Do you know, actually, without wanting to ruin anyone who hasn't played Bioshock, I really didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming.
A lot of people did, apparently, but...
Yeah, a lot of these people that say, oh, well, I saw it coming, they're often the people that didn't see it coming, but really they need to prove their intellectual superiority by pretending they did.
There was a lot of that about Doctor Who the other week, and I didn't believe a word of it.
Yeah, I didn't see that twist coming.
No, I didn't. And suddenly everyone saw it coming.
Oh, no, everyone saw it coming.
No one had mentioned it somehow. Oh, I said this months ago, did you? Yes, that's not iPhone gaming, though, is it?
No, but it wasn't too much... away from it. Doctor Who has an iPhone, probably. There's an iPhone game from Doctor Who, so there we go.
Yeah,
but that twist in Bioshock, it's the second only to the twist in Knights of the Old Republic for me. But that one only benefits because the fact it comes about 25 hours into the game, so you've invested all that time in it, so it's a bit more, whoa, what the hell? Whilst Bioshock is more about 12 hours in, so it's sort of half. Anyway, moving on from everything other than iPhone gaming, linked into that story is that an ex-Rockstar designer has now formed an iPhone company. It's linked in purely on the fact that it's too big, well, you know, big companies or people in big iPhone, no, home console companies coming over to the iPhone to develop. It's also a bit like there's been a few actually. I mean, obviously Rockstar Leeds did Chinatown Wars, which this guy, what's his name again, Keith? Because my news article links to Rob's
article. I know. That's what I'm looking at right now. You should probably explain that, otherwise that's not going to make any sense.
Yeah, sorry. On my news notes that I've made this week, I accidentally left the last digit off this link. So we found out when we were going to record yesterday that we, instead of going to the story about Anthony Gowland's new studio called Mainly About Games, I linked to an article by Rob Hearn, our editor, from 2007, talking about is 3D the future of Java mobile gaming?
Which made me laugh solidly for about 5 minutes. I'm not sure why. That was probably the beer.
It's probably the picture of the really old-looking Nokia phone. And the title is 3D the future.
And the randomness of it, actually. My brain was still trying to make sense of it, thinking, how is this linking to this? What's he linking to here?
So, yeah, so Anthony Gowland from Mainly About Games has formed a studio.
And as I said yesterday, and you completely blanked me, but... I think it's a really nice name for a studio, that. And you're blanking me again.
Yeah, I'm blanking you again.
It's a good name. I've said as much to him myself.
Well, yeah. If you like that name, then you're with Keith.
What would you have called it?
I'd just call it Games.
Games?
It is about games. There you go.
Solidly about games.
Just focused on games.
He might be doing some other stuff. We don't know.
Maybe.
Might run a cleaning service or something, yeah. Mainly about games, but we also
do dry cleaning. Yes, so there we go. So it's another case of someone working for a bigger company breaking off and forming their own iPhone studio. There's been a lot of that recently. And they're usually pretty good games, actually. Anyway, let's go on to a studio which is still big, especially in Japan, and is coming over with another iPhone game. It's Cave's Death Smiles, which was out on Xbox 360 last year, is now coming to the iPhone. I'm looking forward to this a lot, because Cave's shooters on the iPhone have been pretty much excellent, I'd say. I didn't play the one with the... Oh, the girl and the flowers. That technically wasn't bullet hell, though. That was more a twin stick. But, yes, no, Death Smiles is a side-scrolling bullet hell shooter, which is described as gothic because it has sort of anime / manga girls in semi-Victorian-looking clothes.
Semi-Victorian. That famous period of semi-Victorian.
It's more of a sort of fetish Victorian gear, though, isn't it? It's not actually Victorian. I mean, they've got the parasols and they've got the ruffles and stuff
like that. And they're shooting massive...
And they're shooting massive...
Laser shits kind of all over the place.
That's pretty Victorian.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Lots of games journos loved this when it came out, I seem to remember, on Twitter.
Yes, it's very much one of those hardcore games. And I mean hardcore in the sense that only a niche audience are going to really love it. A lot of other people are going to think it's just bizarre and weird. Won't you, Keith?
It just looks to me like every Japanese game ever. So, you know. I'm watching the video again now and there's lots of random bizarre quotes and obviously pieces of story running along the bottom, but I have absolutely
to
no
be
idea
fair, the story in Cave's games, you might as well just not don't bother with that. It's all about the scoring. This doesn't even sound like story. I don't know why I stressed.
I don't know why you did that. You like... just sat there in silence thinking, when did he say score? What's he done that for?
Yeah, it's all about the scoring mechanics and trying to discover the best way of getting higher up on the leaderboards. The iPhone version is going to come with its own iPhone mode. So if you have played the Xbox version, then, well, you know, it's going to be similar, but at least there'll be a new mode. And the previously stuff like Espeluga and Dodonpachi Resurrection, the iPhone mode's actually been quite interesting in terms of how it affects how you play the game. If you're one of those types of people that plays shooters to go through each level one by one, though, you're probably not not going to enjoy it, because it's mainly about, you know, perfecting, learning, and trying to use the scoring as best you can. So, but anyway, if you're a Cave fan, or if you liked their previous three games, or two games if you're Bullet Hell only, on the iPhone, then yep, keep an eye out for that. We don't know a release date yet, but hopefully it's going to be announced soon. So, cool. Moving on. Bungie has a free Halo app out, but it's not called Halo. It's not Halo. Called... it's called Bungie something, isn't it?
What is
mobile.
It?
Bungie Mobile.
Mobile. How do Americans say mobile? They say it...
Mobile.
Mobile, yeah.
No, they call it Cell.
Yes, they do, yeah.
Yes, so Bungie Mobile. I can't actually load up this webpage.
No, this one's not loading for me either.
That's very odd. Anyway, we'll just have to go from memory. It's essentially a Halo Reach app, isn't it?
Yes, lots of statistics on there.
Mm. A bit like the Windows Phone Halo Waypoint thing.
But without the Halo name.
Halo name, because as we were saying yesterday, probably Microsoft has it.
Yes, I just think they wouldn't be too pleased, would they, if... anything with Halo came out on in the name on iPhone.
Yeah.
Without their money all over it.
Money coated to it. Sticking to the name. Yes, so if you're a Halo fanatic, then that's worth checking out.
Yeah, as we said yesterday, this could be, you know, the first step in them. Maybe now they're free of Microsoft shackles, maybe they might be thinking of actually bring out a game on, you know, an original game on iPhone.
Or just re-releasing Marathon.
Oh, yeah, and then you went off on some great...
rant about how Marathon very good.
Rubbish compared to Doom or something you said. Yeah,
it was rubbish compared to Doom. I don't understand why people love it so much. I thought it was boring.
I preferred Snickers. I was actually tempted to make that joke yesterday, but didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't.
I've made it, you know? Now.
Yeah, you have. But thankfully I can edit this one because I'm recording. It doesn't get... I can't edit my memory, though. Not yet.
It's what everyone is thinking, I can guarantee.
Yeah. Bet you they're not. Bet you they're actually thinking, I can't believe Will said Marathon was crap. Marathon is brilliant. But it isn't brilliant. It's not that great. Yeah. But then that led on to me ranting about the fact that I didn't think Halo 1 was very good.
Yes, and I said you were quite weird. Yeah.
I liked Halo 2, though.
Yeah, and then I thought
that just increased the weirdness because everyone else thinks Halo 2 is weird.
Yeah, no, I couldn't take to Halo 2.
It's good. We played that multiplayer all the time at uni.
Who's we?
Me and pretty much everyone else in the corridor. They all bundled into my room, and we had two TVs set up. It's good.
We used to play Perfect Dark. That was. I just used to run around because I liked seeing myself on the other people's screens.
Oh, you vain.
Did you just
stop in front of them and do a twirl?
Well, I had no idea about Perfect Dark anyway. I just used to be a blonde woman and I would run around looking ridiculous, laughing at myself.
Can you put other people's heads on the bodies in Perfect Dark?
No, that's what you do downstairs in your dungeon, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, good point. But you could do it on Perfect Dark as well. I'm pretty certain about that. You could put character models on top of different character models' heads. So you can make real freaks of nature.
As with Call of Duty now, what I tended to do was just run around and get shot and then laugh at how I got shot.
Oh, you're like the opposite of me then. I run around and if I get shot, I get very angry.
Yeah, no, there's no point in me getting angry because I'm not good enough. So, you know,
It's good.
Just make the best of it.
It's a good job I don't get shot very much.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't get angry when I get shot.
Well, I would do in real life.
Well, yeah, haven't been shot in real life yet.
Where in Cambridge.
Living in Cambridge is only a matter of time before I get shot with some statistics or mathematical equation by some loose cannon student. Anyway, final news story of this week. It's a bit weirder this time around, isn't it?
Yeah, no. We should have written down yesterday. And yeah. Recited it like this.
So, Gameloft and EA are holding a Father's Day sale
Oh, God, this one went on for ages. Yeah.
I know, it went on for ages. Oh, I did my game reviews on this, so we'll do it again. yes, so the current tenuous link to excuse even to make a sale is Father's Day, which I think is this week.
It's Sunday.
Sunday, huh. Yes, so here we go. Games on sale. Let's start with Game Loft first. All these ones are 59p or 99 cents if you're in America. Because you guys have sense. See, I did a little joke there, and no one's ever done that one before. Order and Chaos Online, that's for 3 months subscription. That's pretty good. It's all right. I played it for about 2 days and got a bit bored. I'm past that period now. I played World of Warcraft for about 2 months. That was pretty okay, and then I got bored of that as well. So
I have to avoid all these things because I would either absolutely hate them or I would absolutely love them and no one would ever see me again. So
problem I have is that I keep getting random people ask me to be their friend on these games, and it just makes me go like, what? And then I just sort of go into my shell and kill a few baddies and then think.
You've married a few of them though, haven't you?
Yeah, I married a few, but you know, what's a few marriages? The next one up is Fast Five, the movie, official game. Haven't played it. Looks like asphalt. Gangster, Miami Vindication. Have played it. Didn't really like it. I know some people like it. I think it's a bit...
Would your dad like it? This is.
Oh, yeah. Would my dad like it?
This is what we discussed yesterday.
My dad wouldn't know what to do if he was handed a phone without buttons. He doesn't know what to do if he's handed a phone with buttons, to be fair, but he'd be even more confused if he had one.
You draw them on the screen.
I don't know. It'll probably just like I said yesterday, he'll try doing something like putting in someone's phone number and it'll go wrong because he'll be pressing twice on the same button. Well, same number. And then he'll just start to go, well, why isn't this working? And then a few minutes later, the anger will start kicking in and go, well, this thing's stupid. I don't know how to work it. Why can't they come with buttons anymore? Why? He'll do that and then he'll just run off and sulk. Anyway, Spider-Man Total Mayhem is up next. He won't like this one either. I've played that one. Tracy really liked it. I thought it was pretty good as well, actually. In terms of a third-person action game, it's pretty decent. I don't like Spider-Man very much, though, the character.
No. I don't like any superheroes.
I don't like any of them. I like the Batman films. They're all right.
I caught the end of Batman. What was the one where they kind of reset it recently?
Begins.
The last 15 minutes of that was just atrocious.
Well, the last 15 minutes are rubbish.
It's a man dressed as a bat.
They make fun of that during the actual thing. Anyway, sorry. Eternal Legacy is up. That's Game Loft's Japanese RPG knockoff. Fishing Kings. That's the most dad-like game out of the lot.
Yeah.
NFL 2011, which is meant to be a bit cack. And Real Football 2011, or Real Soccer. Is a bit rubbish. So, so our picks from those lot are probably Order and Chaos Online, Spider-Man, and I never played Fishing Kings. I'm going to say Fishing Kings. That's my wild card.
there should be some kind of check on the app store, though, that you actually are a dad if you're downloading these.
Surely the check is, can you open the app store? And if you can, you're not a dad.
Exactly, yeah. So there we have it. It's not work.
Oh, yeah, should mention that there's some Android titles on a buy one, get one free offer as well from Game Loft. And also, there's also some Symbian HD things as well. You can get 8 Symbian games free. So that's to the one guy at the back there with the N8.
Anyone has Symbian HD, why are they listening to this?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're just curious about what happens on the other side where you get games.
I don't think we'll have converted them, to be honest, will we?
No. So next up is EA's list. These are not available. Well, they're not on sale in the US at the moment. I don't know if they are now. But I haven't checked. But so UK listeners, they're all reduced to 59p as well. And we got FIFA 11. That was pretty good. That's quite dad-ish as well, in a way. Football game. Battlefield Bad Company 2. That was meant to be decent. Madden NFL 11, which Tracy really likes. But of course, I tried playing it. Didn't know what was going on. There were just lots of people going, hot. And then
I couldn't score a goal.
Pressing. I didn't know what to do. They're all running around. Like they start off and they've got the ball on the ground and they throw it to someone and I don't know what happens. It's just like, what's going on?
I think you've got to try and get it in the basket, I think.
That's what I thought, but I couldn't see one. Also, I tried running. I thought it was a left-to-right running game. kept running past the little line. And kept stopping and putting me back. Don't know what happened. Anyway, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Yeah, it's okay. But there's no point getting it because Need for Speed Under... No, wait. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is the good one.
You got it the wrong way around.
I was reading ahead of myself as I was saying. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is the good one. I recommend getting that one. I enjoyed that. Need for Speed Undercover is the old one. And considering it's the same price as Hot Pursuit, there's not really much point in you getting that unless you've completed Hot Pursuit, I guess. Risk. That's a dad game. Although, I don't think it's as good as Dominion. And a couple of other Risk clones that are out there. Wolfenstein RPG. That's good on Java. Don't know what it's like on the iPhone. It's probably a little bit old now. Dragon's Lair 2 Time Warp. That's a dad game. If your dad's from like the 70s. Not my dad, though. He's from the 40s. say Dragon's Lair to him, he'll just look at you oddly. Say something like, token? So, yes, Dragon's Lair 2 Time Warp. If you enjoy not doing much and watching nice cartoons, then that's more for you. Fight Night Champion, which I haven't played, but Rich has. And I think he thought it was all right, so that one's okay. And also Dead Space is also on sale, but it's £1.79. That was all right, but I agree with Tracy on his review. I didn't agree with him. This is going to sound like a repeat, Keith. I didn't agree with him for the first 2 hours of playing it because I thought the controls were fine. And then the game becomes hard and the controls just can't cope with the speed and the amount of space you get. So just warning you guys, it's a good game, though. It's worth getting. And it looks lovely.
Can I just say the whole thing sounds like a repeat to me. So you don't need to pre-warn any time you're repeating yourself here because you've just been repeating yourself the whole time.
Oh, okay.
It's very, very dull, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
What can I do?
That's all right.
Yeah. Are you? I should probably check. Are you actually? You know, is this being recorded or is this just another big trick?
It's a big trick.
It's a big trick.
I never press record.
Just want an hour of conversation.
Just want to talk to someone. I don't speak to anyone. Okay. Yes. So Dead Space is on iPhone for £1.79 and £2.99 on iPad. Same game, bigger screen. Well, that's it for the news. Actually, I could fit in a bonus news story.
You're going off the radar here. What are you doing?
Yeah. No, actually, I won't. Right, okay, so let's go on to the new releases. This week on the new releases, we're skipping stones, we're bound in cells, and we've got a long way to go if we want to get home.
Do you usually do? I don't remember you ever doing that before. Why have you picked these three games to try and link together in this way?
I don't know. Right, so new releases this week. Well, there's one that isn't a new release because it should have been released and then was pulled mysteriously, and Telltale haven't got back to us on this. Tales of Monkey Island Episode 2. Gone. It was on the New Zealand App Store, then it was removed.
I said, go away. Stop bugging us. Stop asking about why we haven't put it up.
Did they?
Yeah, that's what they've said. Get Will off our case. Leave us alone.
Yeah, I just didn't read their emails. They sent me about 5. To be fair, though, I sent them about 80. And they were all just capital letters saying, where is Monkey Island?
Picture of you with a sad face.
A picture of me in the sad face. It was quite a big picture as well. 1920 by 1080. And not compressed.
HD.
Yeah, HD. Yes, so Tales of Monkey Island Episode 2 isn't on the App Store. I'm sure it'll pop up. It means it's going to pop up soon, though. So if you've been waiting since December for the second episode, then it'll be up there soon. Flick Golf Extreme is up. I'm going to be talking about that a bit later, though. Skipping Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Skipping Stone. It's one of the new releases this week from Gameville. Now, when we were looking at this yesterday, we thought it was based on the Java original. But when we actually went to look at what the Java original looked like, it looked very bad.
It looks very different, very bad. But it's Gameville, so But it, I
the iPhone one looks much better.
Yes, it does. The skipping stone. I mean, we gave it a bronze, but you know,
in 2005,
it looked like the game time forgot.
It's very weird. It's got a floating head.
He seems to be in the original. He seems to be kicking stones from the shore, and I don't know, trying to get it in a whale's hole or something. I don't know.
Steady on.
This one's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one tap. So you tap and then he jumps across the water. I suspect this is going to be like Tiny Wings, you know.
Have we said in this new story that it is the same as the Java one? The original Java version. Yeah. We called it a wonderfully fun experience that you'll definitely want to keep dipping into either alone or with friends.
Oh, blimey.
And probably
there's a lot of things you can describe that.
Yeah, I mean, that's amusing now we know it's not the same game. But.
Yeah. Anyway, so Skipping Stone is out now. It's 59p, 99 cents, or 79 cents if you're in Euroland. A Long Way Home is also out this week. This is an indie game. It looks quite lovely. It's got a very ambient soundtrack. The idea is to get your spaceman back home by leaping across asteroids and picking up dark matter to fuel your wormhole generator. What that actually means is that it's basically you timing leaps to avoid obstacles, basically. But it looks nice, and oh. I've got a quote on the App Store description for it. My preview.
Well,
it wasn't even a preview.
It's just a news story.
It's the news story saying it was up. I haven't actually played it yet. So it's a bit weird.
I thought it was a bit dodgy.
They've used a quote from me.
How much did they pay you for that, Will?
About £4 billion. No, I didn't get paid anything. But so they've quoted me out of context and put on the App Store description. It happens quite a lot, to be fair, especially with our quotes. it's like the positive one from Pocket Gamer. That comes from a news story. Actual review, 5 out of 10. But I don't know how good A Long Way Home is. It's being reviewed this week. I'm not on it, so unfortunately I can't tell you if it's good or not. It looks nice from the videos and it has a nice soundtrack. That's why I can tell you. Yes, so if you want to download A Long Way Home, it's available now for £1.19 or $1.99. The final game this week that we're going to talk about is Cellbound, which hit app stores across the world on Thursday. It's a match 3 game. Well, actually, it's sort of a match more than thing. It's a matching game. It's circular. You fire sort of cells into each other and try and match them up. And as Keith said, it looks a bit like Puzzle Bobble or Buster Move.
Yeah, mixed with those ones that go around in lines, which I forget the name of, but there's hundreds of them.
Yeah. So it looks pretty. It's by Hothead.
It looks an inventive way of delivering a match 3. This kind of sells.
That sells. Like it.
Yeah.
I need you on my pun team, Elite Pun Agency, or EPA, as we're called.
You should have made that into some kind of pun.
I know. I should have. It's too hard.
Puns United Network.
Yeah, that's better. So there's 3 game modes: Burst, Infinite, and Timer. Power ups, rotations, cells, and it is out now. Hothead Games, by the way, the reason why I mentioned their name is because they are the guys who are currently making Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for the iPhone. It is out now for 99 cents, 59p. So that's it. That's the new releases this week. Apologies that I'm talking so damn quickly. It's the coffee. Drinking coffee this week rather than beer.
I considered going out and getting a beer, and then I thought it's not even... It's barely lunch.
Well, I've already had lunch.
Well, yeah, so have I. But when I was considering getting the beer, it wasn't even lunch, to be honest. And I thought, you know, someone will call the police or I'll have some kind of trouble.
Let's move on to the what we've been playing, Fields.
What we've been playing!
I'm going to start this week.
Are you? Yeah.
Yes, I am. I have been playing. Right, yeah, sorry. I've been playing The Incredible Machine on the iPad. It's a remake of the 93 or 94 PC original physics puzzler, often cited in top 100 best puzzle games ever because it's quite old now. And it was most people's first introduction to the idea of physics puzzling. Also, it was quite a unique game at launch. I didn't like it that much at launch, to be fair. It's quite young. But anyway, yes, this remake for the iPad. It goes from the same sort of basic concept. You have a single screen. You need to get something to do something else, like a cat being fed food or a mouse eating cheese. And you get various contraptions in order to do it. Often involves rolling balls down a slope and triggering things. It's very easy to play. It's a drag and drop interface. It starts off extremely easy. But there are difficulty spikes throughout the game, which is kind of a bit weird, because the overall difficulty level is actually quite low. Then all of a sudden, a really, really hard puzzle will pop up, and you'll be sat there thinking, what the hell's going on? But, yeah, it's quite fun, but it does feel a little bit dated now. Well, no, not dated. I mean, the gameplay itself is fairly timeless, if you want to call it that, but there's quite a lot of physics puzzles around now, especially on the iPad, and there's a lot of really good ones, like Casey's Contraptions, which got a gold award from us a few weeks ago, and of course World of Goo, which isn't quite in the same sort of subgenre of the physics puzzler, but it's still good, and it still involves physics and puzzling. It doesn't really match up to those games. If you are a fan of the original, you'll no doubt enjoy this remake purely because it's quite loyal. But if you're a newcomer, I'd advise you probably to check out some of the other more modern physics puzzles before you check out Incredible Machine, because it's just, it's not very well presented. Well, it's just a bit bland. And the actual gameplay isn't quite as enthralling as some of the other games out there. But I gave it a healthy 6 out of 10, which means it's decent. Rather than on other review sites where a 6 out of 10 means rubbish, which is wrong. Cause it's just...
You've managed to say all of that within about a quarter of the time that you did yesterday.
I was a little bit drunk yesterday by this point.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's the Incredible Machine. 6 out of 10, pretty decent. The other game I've been playing... See, I did this last week as well. What is it?
What do you mean, what is it?
What other game was I playing this week?
You know what game you were playing this week, because it made me titter.
Oh, yes. The other game I've been playing this week is Flick Golf Extreme. Now, Keith...
Babby didn't make me titter, no. It's just...
Keith is now preparing by putting on his I'm not going to laugh face. But here we go. So Flick Golf Extreme is the sequel to Flick Golf, which was a bestseller back in the day last year, I think. Goes on the same basis as if you played the Flick Kick series by Pickbok, you should know basically what it's about, or indeed the original. You flick your finger up vertically on the screen to hit the golf ball. The closer you get to the hole, or ideally in the hole, the more points you score. And while it's in the air, you can swipe the screen a bit like Tiger Woods on the iPhone, swiping the screen to put spin on the ball. And then when it bounces, you can keep swiping it and it'll put more spin on and stuff like that. So, the extreme part comes from the locations you'll be hitting a golf ball in, which include an aircraft carrier, or rather a helicopter orbiting an aircraft carrier, which is pretty extreme, on top of a skyscraper to another skyscraper where the hole is, or on a windy oil rig in the North Sea. It's just window dressing, really, but it is quite fun. And the leaderboards and the three different game modes are quite entertaining. The only issue is same as with the original, really. I mean, the flicking part of it doesn't really matter so much. You see, he's already breaking, listeners. You can hear him moving away now from the microphone in order to pretend he's not going to laugh. The flicking mechanism is the same as the original game, so that your flick doesn't really affect how far your ball travels. You were so childish. So yes, so if you hit it quite hard, there's not much of a difference between flicking it hard and flicking it softly.
Yeah.
So most of the gameplay goes on centers around how much you stroke the ball.
No.
When it's in the air. So it sort of loses half of the appeal in a way, because you can do a really bad shot and you'll actually score more points because you stroked it harder to get it into the hole. Yes, so yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now because I'm too.
Yesterday, you accompanied this story by revealing that you'd spent hours up until about 3 a.m. flicking it.
Yes, indeed, I did. Yeah, it's
trying to get better.
It's still an addictive game, and I was number one on the leaderboards flicking my balls into the hole.
They don't like that.
One of the best things about it actually is the fact that your balls get set on fire if you get 3 in a hole. So. So you can score huge scores if you're very good at the game, which I am, obviously, because I almost got a perfect round.
Your balls are always on fire.
My balls are always on fire. I'm on fire. Anyway, yes, so Flick Golf Extreme. It's not that different from the original, but if you haven't played the original, I'd suggest you pick it up. I gave it a 7 out of 10 because I think it's good. It's a good game. Keith.
I see. I didn't laugh as much.
You've been flicking balls recently?
Not for work. Yes, work-wise. Well, I've been playing 2 games this week. Will?
Oh, tell me more.
I have a feeling you might know what they are.
One of them is 1,000 Heroes.
Heroes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good game. It's anyone who's seen it, and a lot of people have already, if you look at the leaderboards, the idea is every day there's a new little race, and you have to race this little man down a very short course and try and post the highest score. And it's all very simple in that all you can do is run or jump, and basically to post a high score, you have to try and decipher what the best route is and avoid the kind of mini obstacles in your way. And it gets very addictive because there are literally thousands of people around the world posting scores each and every day. And each track, you only have 24 hours. So whoever's top at that 20, I don't know if they win a prize or anything, but whoever's top at that 24 hours, you know, is the best at that track. So it's quite addictive. It's the kind of thing you can pick up, play for 5 minutes every day. But it's a bit, the problem is that knowing what you should be doing, knowing what is the best route, where you should be jumping, where you shouldn't, is quite difficult. And what you think looks like should deliver the quickest time often doesn't. And then you'll post a quick time when you think you've botched it, and somehow you won't know why. So it's kind of, you can't afford to take it too seriously, really, because while it's addictive and while you know it's great when you post a fast time, it doesn't necessarily mean you're actually any good, because a lot of the time the quick times seem to come along out of the blue. So it's good. I gave it 7. It's good, and you know, it's the kind of thing that I'll imagine lots of people have on their iPhone for a long time. It's very clever in that it's a new track every day, so you're kind of inclined to keep playing. But it could have been better. So whether that will change as more tracks get unlocked and actually things will kind of calm down, I don't know. But at the moment, I find it a little bit. I suppose if you're going to really, you know, if you want to take it seriously, then it can be a bit frustrating because even the perfect run doesn't lead to a good time. But it's still good. It's a good game. And then I've also been playing.
I'm going to interrupt you here and say, I just saw a sports Bentley Continental. How cool is that? Yeah, no, you just pulled into the drive opposite.
That can't be unusual.
It is pretty unusual. I haven't seen one around for ages. Not since I sold my one. Anyway, so what were you talking about?
I've also been playing Rocket Bunnies.
Rocket Bunnies.
By Chilingo.
Chilingo.
Which is very good. It's really good, actually. So it's completely nuts. This little rabbit runs around the edges of planets delivering carrots to all the other rabbits who apparently live on planets around the universe. And you basically have to get him across to each and every planet in the level that has a rabbit on it before you get taken down, essentially, by a load of...
Take that rabbit down!
Missiles and bombs that are kind of... Some of them are orbiting the planet, some of them are kind of heading straight for you. So it becomes a bit of a stepping stone dance where you kind of dance around each stage, trying to post as quick a time as possible, the most logical route, but then you also have all these things you have to avoid. You get more, as in all Chilingo games, you get up to 3 stars for the quickest time you post, so the inclination there is to go back and do it again, as any Angry Birds or Cut the Rope fan will be familiar with, to try and get all 3 stars. And obviously you need enough stars to unlock later stages, so just getting through the 1 star isn't really enough. So you're meant to look for the quickest, most logical route, and obviously also timing up your runs with the planets. If you line them up, you get a little speed boost, so you can zip around, and it's all quite fun. But then as the levels progress, it starts to get quite manic and hectic, as all these various missiles head for you, and you can make them collide by changing your route, which is quite clever. And yeah, it's really, really good, and it looks amazing as well. It's really well presented, so it's. I think it's what a Chilingo's best, to be honest. So,
wow, that's high praise.
Yeah, high praise. Not that I'm reviewing it, but you know, high praise.
Cool. Thanks very much for those 15 games. That's it for this week.
Are you sure?
Yes, I have been recording this one.
I'm not saying this again. I'm not sure people want to listen to it a third time, actually.
Then no one heard it the first time.
No, I know, but our delivery by the third time would be so bad, I think.
It would just be me going, yep, on the news this week, we've got Game of Thrones, we've got this, we're ready, let's move on. Yes, so this has been a rare afternoon podcast from us here. I hope you didn't find it too annoying. I hope you found it maybe even you found it entertaining. Who knows? Well, you know, obviously, but we don't. Hopefully you did. Whatever. Yes, I've been Will Wilson, and thanks for joining me.
I'm not doing that.
Thanks for joining me today, Keith Andrew.
Yes, that's better.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. I've been Will Wilson still. Can't get the ending.
Will's going for a job on local radio. This is what this is all about.
And yes, so we've had a great podcast so far. Now let's go to Duran Duran with Her Name Is Rio.
Yeah.
Yes, so thank you very much for listening, and we bid you farewell. Farewell.
Bye-bye.